Blog Talk Radio.
Embrace our inner nerd. You know, it's gonna be a fun show tonight. You know, I wake up. You ever like just going when I'm going to work? When I'm going to work, okay? Because this is not my job. All right, my job is going out and you know, in the medical field. You know, my doctor title is not just a name and title. It's you know, it's a real thing. So, I do this and I do that. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm not trying to impress anybody because, I've got the lady friend and, you know, we have a good time. I like her. You know, she's really cool. She's amazing, actually. You know, we're going to go to, you know, local joint in Pelizzeri's tomorrow. So cheap plug for Pelizzeri's. But anyways, I wake up, I'm not trying to impress anybody. I wake up, I don't do my hair, you know, I take a shower every night, because who doesn't? You know, I bathe, I clean up, brush my teeth or whatever. When I go to work, I'm not really trying to impress anybody. So when I roll out of bed, when I show up at work, the people at work see me with, you know, bedhead, I guess, is the best way to put it. Well, God, in his infinite glory and wisdom, has decided to, you know, the last couple of days, bless me with a faux hawk that looks pretty good. Now, I'm growing in at my beard a little bit, going a little Fu Manchu a little, if you will. You know, it's a good look for me, I'm finding. It's all right. Not really a fan of beards, but, you know, mine looks all right. I'll post a photo a little bit later on. I'll let you all decide. But, I got, like, a little faux hawk going, you know? And so I took a shower, like, the other night, you know, after the first day of faux hawk first day. And I wake up the next morning, and God, in his infinite wisdom and glory, has given me another faux hawk. I'm like, man, this could work. So now I'm kind of rocking a faux hawk, kind of going with my little beard. You know, it's a good time. It's a good time. I think it's a good look. It makes me look kind of tough. I have the 49ers jacket pullover on. You know, people look at me like I might be part of the team because right now they've got a lot of open roster spots because of free agency. So I could be a football player for the 49ers. Who knows? I don't know. It's fun to let people's imaginations run wild. And these things just kind of happen. I don't know what to do. I like the look, though. So, you know, it's a fun look, you know. Tonight, you can reach me, anything we talk about. You know, if you want to call in and say, I've got a weird look, too, that kind of looks good. I never expected would look good. Call me, 1-347-826-9974. That is 1-347-826-9974. We got a lot to talk about tonight, but as I always say, beforehand, before anything, you know, Triple Threat Talk Radio is above anything, before anything, a sports. We are a sports radio network. So what I want to do is right now we got conference tournaments going on. So I want to talk a little bit about some conference tournament action. Tennessee knocking off Vanderbilt 67-61 in the quarters, I guess it would be. No, it would be the regionals of the SEC tournament. Georgetown is in a battle with Creighton right now, 54-53. We've got Iowa State over Texas is the final, 69-67 out of the Big 12. Duke absolutely crushed NC State, 77-53. Duke doing something not so smart, and I'll explain what that is in a little moment in a while. You've got LaSalle knocking off UMass earlier today, 76-69. Michigan over Illinois, 73-53. Florida moves on to play number one team in the land in their first conference game of the tournament tomorrow, 69-61 over Alabama. So Florida will move on to play Kentucky for the third time this year. But UAB knocking off WKU 53-52. And we've got, let's see here, the UofL did fall to North Carolina earlier this year, so that earlier tonight, so that's going to mean that Kentucky, or not Kentucky, listen to me, that UofL and UofL is going to be sent home. Their next conference, their next game will be in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, it's about to get interesting. And it got really interesting earlier today when Duke said, "We want Kentucky." There's that saying, you never bite off more than you can chew. You never, you know, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. I understand that Duke is a good team. We talked about it last night, Triple Threat Talk. You know, Duke is a good team. No one is taking that away from Duke. Nobody. Nobody. Zilch. Zero. Nada. They're not as loaded as Kentucky is. And, you know, it makes me, earlier this year, I thought that Duke could beat Kentucky. But, you know, it's one of those things that as Duke plays and plays and plays, they definitely have shades of, I guess you would say shades of genius when they're playing their shows, or when they're playing their games. You know, you've got, they're going out, they're playing all that they can. Tyus is playing really well. Okafor is playing really well. You know, and they can shoot the ball from the perimeter. They are a very good perimeter shooting team at times. And I really think that it's going to take a team to jack up 15 threes against Kentucky, and that's still not be enough, which is why I think Gonzaga is a threat to Kentucky more so than Duke. We talked about that last night. But I thought it was interesting. I won't go much into it. I just thought it was interesting, though, because Duke said that they want Kentucky. And the first thing that came out of my mouth when I heard it was, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. And I think that Duke's got to be really weary of that. The aforementioned North Carolina beating Duke, or beating Louisville, that score 70-60. Baylor knocked off West Virginia 80-70 there. And I think Villanova knocking off Marquette 84-49. Arizona getting it done against California, or Cal, 73-51. Kansas knocking off TCU 64-59. And Virginia did knock off Florida State 58-44. And speaking of Cal, even though I was talking about the school, there's a new rule change coming out that came out after the article. The first articles on this were written after we went off the air a couple of talks. So I want to use this time before we get into, you know, what we normally cover on the lounge, which is superheroes and comic books and video games and stuff like that. I want to take just a second to expand a little bit on this because it is very big news. They are wanting to move the deadline to declare for the draft back 5 weeks from late April to late May. And what this will do essentially is they're wanting to put together a combine, an invite-only combine that will invite 70 people, which includes international talent, senior talent, and freshman talent, or early talent, I guess you could say, early entry talent. And this invite, this 70-player invite, would do two things. It would give the player better feedback in which to make their decision, and it would give it would give everybody else who might be thinking about it, if you're not invited to this combine, you're not going pro, so you don't have to waste your time to declare for the draft. And this whole thing is a collaboration of the NCAA and the NBA, and it's about time they do something about this, because you had kids that still had eligibility that had to rush on life-changing decisions. And that's not right to do, because after all, they're just kids. So I think it's a good thing that they're doing this. If you have a different opinion, or if you have any kind of feedback on this, I'd like to hear you. 1-347-826-9974. 1-347-826-9974 is the phone number. Like I said, they've definitely got some interesting rule changes coming about, and I think it's for the better. I know it's for the better. And how this reflects to Calipari is, I said I was going to talk a little bit about Calipari, was because he came out and said he thought it was a good idea and that this is way overdue. So it seems to be that the prevailing opinion, especially listening to it this morning and throughout the course of the day, you know, it seems to be that this is being very well received, because you shouldn't have somebody making a life-changing decision without the proper information. You know, would you want somebody starting at your firm or your company that wasn't properly trained? And that metaphor goes two ways. One, for this. And two, I always liken this to the NBA, the NCAA. I think what the NBA has done with the one-and-done rule is successfully kill both their product, which isn't as exciting as it was in the days of Michael Jordan. You've got LeBron James, and Russell Westbrook's putting on a show right now. But in general, I'm talking generalization. Remember, I'm not talking now, because I know I'm going to have someone call in. Doc, you're crazy. The NBA is exciting. Yes, right now it can be exciting, but wasn't this exciting the same time 3 years ago? No. Wasn't this exciting the same time 4 years ago? No. 2 years ago? No. You know what? The NBA hasn't really been exciting, because there haven't been a lot of one-and-dones paying out when you look at the general scheme of how many people are sending in one-and-dones. Right now, you know, the Archie Goodwins of the world, irrelevant. The Kyle Ortons of the world, irrelevant. The Russ Smith wasn't a one-and-done. Right now, you've got Anthony Davis, you've got Eric Bledsoe, you've got Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, you've got John Wall, you've got DeMarcus Cousins, and maybe one or two other people out there that were one and done that are meaningful right now. Yes, there are players that really haven't had time to develop right now. Kansas has got a couple in there, like Joel Embiid and Wiggins, you know, Andrew Wiggins. But those might be good players. You know, I've seen a lot more out of Joel Embiid than I have Andrew Wiggins, that's for sure. But at the same time, you know, what the NBA is saying to the NCAA, we don't want you to train our employees. We want them to train ourselves. And what this is doing overall, and we talk about this every now and then in the Triple Threat Talk because it's a hot topic. In essence, what this does is, if you're dating a girl for a year, okay, if you're dating a girl for a year and you break up, you're going to be a little bit heartbroken, okay? Because you didn't really get to know her, all right? You didn't get to really hang out. You didn't really get to know her. Yeah, you can do a lot in a year, and that's great, but you don't really get to the deep stuff. Where are you from? How's your family? You know, you don't get to meet, you don't maybe get to meet grandma and grandpa. You know, it's one of those things that people, you know, the years, you know, what do they call it, the honeymoon, you know, puppy love phase. You date a girl for 4 years, you get to know them, you get passionate about them. You start to love them. You know, you go a little bit further. You know, right now the NBA is saying to the NCAA, we want you to date your girl. We want you to have your player play for a year, and we don't want anyone to get to know them. And what this is doing is the NBA thinks that they're going to make more money than the NCAA, but that's not the case, because what's happening is the NBA isn't letting the NCAA develop this talent. So, in essence, no one is being attached to these kids. No one's dating that girl because they don't know her. You know, that they're killing themselves, and they don't realize it because they see the almighty dollar, and they're throwing the almighty dollar in front of these kids. So they're like, oh, look, an almighty dollar. I want that. See you later, Kentucky. See you later, Kansas. See you later, Ohio State. You know, it's an interesting story for the first few years of your life, and then not so much. Where's Kyle Orton? Where's Archie Goodwin? You know, where's Ennis? I mean, these people, these kids, they just disappear after a while. If nobody wants, no one knows who they are, and they got waved the money in front of their faces. So, you know, it's a vicious circle, and right now I think the NBA is doing a lot more harm in basketball than good. So my point is that this is a little bit better off. This is a little bit better. This is at least a step in the right direction, I think. And I think they're going to be – that people are going to be pleased with this kind of a with this kind of an outcome. And it's a start. You know, it's a start, and I think that here in a few years we're going to see that it's going to be a good thing. Start informing the kids more and more and more, and you're going to start seeing less and less risks being taken, and this might eventually lead to 2 and 3 years and done instead of 1 and done. So I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good start. So. But yeah, so and I have a guy on Facebook contacting me right now. By the way, you can also contact us on Facebook. Fantastic, if you're radio shy. Saying, Calipari cheats as much as the Tar Heels. He has been caught twice. I'll get to that in a second. This is not a sports show, but I do know why. I do understand why you said that. That is factually wrong, and I'll explain why in just a second. He was punished. The next text says he wasn't punished for it. Somebody else writing in, the NBA sucks right now. One and done really hurts college basketball. Yes, it does, because you don't get to know the players, just like I said. You don't get to know the players. You know, it does a lot more harm than good. And Calipari did not cheat. Here's the common misconception. I want to say, we should have this is a triple threat talk, but as our audience grows, not everybody understands, not everybody hears your argument. So every now and then, you have to say the same thing over and over. It's radio. You know, people don't go back and listen to old episodes. It's fine. It's great. I'm here to tell you why Calipari didn't cheat. A, he turned himself in at UMass. We talked about this today at work, actually. With me and my faux hawk, my little Fu Manchu going in there. He turned himself in twice. He turned himself in with the Marcus Camby situation. He went to the NCAA and said, hey, NCAA, I might not have done something right, or not me, but my staff might have done something that they might not have done, that they might not have been supposed to do. I don't know what the rule is here. Can you please clarify this situation? The last time I checked, cheaters don't turn themselves in. As a result of the investigation, from him being an honest coach in that particular scenario, I'm not saying Calipari is an overall honest coach, because let's face it, everyone in Division I cheats. It doesn't matter who you are, from Grand Canyon State. Yes, it's someone that is a shot at someone listening right now, and they know who they are. From Grand Canyon State all the way up to Kentucky, everybody cheats in college D1 basketball. It's just who gets caught or whatnot. In this particular instance, where he was penalized at UMass, he did not cheat because he had himself, he had his staff, he had the NCAA checking into rules, and he said, hey, NCAA, hold up a second. I'm not sure if this is legal. I'm not sure if this is legal. So that is what happened with Calipari at UMass. So educate yourselves, because it's not a good response to say he cheated. Now, here's the other thing that he is not a cheater for. A lot of people say with the Derrick Rose situation, you know, Derrick Rose wasn't the one that took his test. The last time I checked, Thunder Dan does not cheat. Grand Canyon's coach is Thunder Dan. And he doesn't cheat, apparently. Derrick Rose was taking his test, and supposedly now the NCAA has said someone else took his test for him. How is Calipari supposed to know that when he's in Memphis, you know, working up plans for basketball, and his potential students in another room halfway across the state taking the ACT? To think that's cheating in any way, shape, or form is just ludicrous. So, you know, Calipari's not a cheater. I mean, not at least for those two reasons. He's probably a cheater for other reasons, but not for those two particular reasons. And, you know, you gotta just educate yourself. It's okay to think these things, but once someone sets you straight like the doc just did, you gotta change your tune, because it hasn't been yes, he was penalized for it, but, you know, wrongfully so, because the NCAA's clearinghouse is crazy. They've got to stop clearing players and then saying, oh, wait a minute, we made a boo-boo. That's just wrong on the face of it. If the NCAA clears a player, they should never be uncleared unless an academic violation occurs after they were cleared. So that's kind of the feeling on that. Anyways, we're not getting into what I wanted to talk about tonight, so I'm going to move on amicably. That's right. I just used the word amicably in a sentence. It felt pretty good. I'm not going to lie. Moving forward amicably. Another message coming in. Look, he looks like he is in the mafia. You know good and well he cheats. You know what? You better thank your lucky stars he's not in the mafia, because it's a statement like that that'll get your legs broke in the mafia. So, yeah, I'm going to leave your name anonymous, sir, on Facebook, talking to me right now, sending a message to me, because you might get your legs broke by the mafia if they knew who you were. So back off, buddy. Back off. I want to move on for a second. I want to move to Gotham. All right, everybody loves Gotham. Gotham's number one show on television right now. It's a fantastic show. If you haven't watched it yet, shame on you. It is a great watch. It's on a break right now, so I think April 13th, I think. Maybe. Yeah, April 13th. Jada Pinkett Smith just revealed that her character, Fish Mooney, is not expected back for season two, but she went on to say that that doesn't necessarily mean that her character is going to die. If you have seen this show, this girl is crazy. She is cray-cray, okay? She scooped out her own eyeball and sat on it, and stepped on it, splattering it everywhere. You're standing within like 5 feet of her in any direction. You got a nice little eyeball shower going on. Because she's crazy. She is crazy. She was trying to prevent the bad guy right now, Dr. Dolmacher, who turns out to be the Dollmaker. Duh. For those of you all unfamiliar with the show, he's a villain that assembles people by chopping off the bits of other people and reassembling them onto his victims. Or he's also actually a very talented physician, and whoever pays him enough money, you can solve a whole bunch of problems for you. You know, it's kind of a bunch of sci-fi stuff going on. But fact of the matter is, Fish Mooney's cray-cray. She scooped out her own eyeball and stepped on it, and then the doll maker gave her a new eyeball. But, you know, she's a survivor. I'm telling you, this girl is a survivor. She got kidnapped earlier in the year. Pirates took over her ship, and she ended up in the basement of this doll maker's house, this Duelmacher. You know, she's a survivor, I'm telling you. You don't want to mess with Fish Mooney. She'll kill you. I don't want to mess with no pirate ghost. They'll kill you. Somebody just sent in, did you see the Robin Lord Taylor on The Talking Dead last week? And another person actually just said, quote unquote, I just saw the guy who plays the Penguin on Talking Dead last week. Both of those are the same person. Both of those are the same actor, not the same person that sent those messages. He had a small role in The Walking Dead at the beginning of the season and was on the show. It comes on afterwards to talk about The Walking Dead. Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, because The Walking Dead is up on the docket tonight. So, but yeah, so Fish Mooney's crazy. You don't want to mess with her. But, you know, I hope that her character doesn't die. You know, what are your feelings on Fish Mooney, people of Earth? 1-347-826-9974. It's on hiatus, so I don't expect a whole lot of people to call in with their opinion on Fish Mooney, just because Gotham is off air right now until April 13th. Maybe we talk about this at a later date and the phone rings off the hook. But right now there's conference basketball going on, and I realize it's going to hurt my ratings just as much as anybody else. So I very well may be talking to 10 people instead of 10,000. I get that, but it's okay. Because, you know, I'm enjoyable. I'm delightful. I'm delightful. It's great. It's great being delightful. Ray should try being delightful sometime. Ray. Talking to you, Ray. That's right. I know you're listening. But yeah, so Gotham resumes. I think they got three more episodes left on the year. It's gonna be good. So yeah. Another great show that just came back, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Of course, the team is now getting over the death of Trip. When last we saw Trip, he got turned to some sort of ashy stone thing. After they activated one of the diviners, and Reyna and Sky got hit with this thing, and it turns out Sky is Daisy Johnson, who can cause earthquakes. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is, you know, she can do other things. She exploded a gun and all that fun stuff. But, you know, Reyna went through a little bit of a transformation. She used to be hot, man. Now she's like all covered in spikes and stuff, and just, it's not a good look for her. Not a good look for her at all. It's like seeing the prom queen 10 years ago, and then she kind of let herself go, and now she's like 300 pounds, looking like this guy I know named Ray Geddes. You know, it's a little bit of a it's a little bit of a of a it's a little bit of a draw of a letdown, frankly. You know, because you know you want to see this really cute girl. I'm not kidding you, man. If you ever saw Gotham, if you ever saw or not Gotham, if you ever saw Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., she had eyes to die for. You know, that's how, you know, she'd have. They'll just stare at you, and you'd be like, "Oh, she's so cute, aw." But you know, so they're up to some things. Of course, right now this season of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is all about bringing the Inhumans online. The Inhumans is going to be a Marvel movie coming up in the next couple of years. It's about, you know, normal human beings that are granted powers, and right now they're kind of going into it. Although I fully expect the show this year, even though they're not kind of hitting on it right now, I expect the show this year to end where they're going to kick off with Winter Soldier, Captain America 3, Civil War. I mean, because, you know, it has to almost be this season or next season because, and it very well be maybe next season, but because Civil War is all about Tony Stark versus Captain America. And yes, I know you're all thinking, well, they're Avengers and they're fighting side by side. They are, but the reason that they fight each other is because of ideology. It really is a civil war because on one side, you have people that are wanting to register for the Superhero Registration Act, which would let people know who a superhero is and what their powers are. And then on the other end, you have Captain America, or not Captain America, you have Iron Man, Tony Stark. So even though the world knows who Iron Man is, he feels that it's okay if somebody doesn't know your identity. And so they start fighting because of those different ideologies. And this whole thing kicks off when a group of supervillains is chasing when a group of superheroes is chasing a villain through the streets of New York. I won't spoil any names because I don't want you to say, "Hey, that's the guy I heard about on the lounge. I know what's going to happen next." A group of those superheroes are chasing a villain, and this villain decides to go boom in the middle of downtown Manhattan, and this causes concern and want of the Superhero Registration Act. So, okay, I had to throw this out there. I'm a huge wrestling fan. We're gonna take a slight detour here for just a second. There's a photo that just popped up on newsfeed from something called Kayfabe News, and basically Kayfabe News is kind of like the Onion of wrestling. It's like fake stories that happen in the world of wrestling. Controversial new study suggests TNA still exists. And there's a photo of the TNA Knockout in an empty ballpark stadium outside. The internet is abuzz with discussion and debate today following the release of a controversial new study that suggests total nonstop action wrestling continues to exist. That is great. That is fantastic. Oh my gosh. Oh, what are they going to think of next, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, I haven't laughed like that hard since I was a little girl. So anyway, back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's going to be an interesting season. As you continue to go through the separation and the struggle of Fitzsimmons together, as Skye or Daisy continues to find her way in the group. What's going on with Bobby and Mac? What's their really hidden agenda? We found out a little bit more about that this weekend, but I have a 1 week spoiler alert rule, so I will talk about this week's episode. I have it 2 days ago next week. So it's an interesting season hashing out right now on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And speaking of Marvel, I have two other Marvel stories here. The Avengers, the final trailer dropped for the Avengers. I'm attempting to play this right now so that you all can listen to it. I had it pulled up, and it's not pulling up. Give me 1 second here, I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. I think this is going to do it. All right, here we go.
I was designed to sing. our mistakes. You see why we fight, so we can end this fight and go home?
Well, amazing you yelled.
Is the Age of Ultron final trailer as heard through a microphone, so you don't get the full effect of it, but wow. Just got another sports picture in my mail, but anyways, we're going to finish up with the Avengers. It was definitely an interesting thing to note. A couple things to note here. Ultron is voiced by the Blacklist, James Spader. Does a fantastic job. You know, he's kind of got an evil kind of scowl, or like a gruff in his throat. You know, I'll take that from him first. You know, pretty good. I can see an evil robot voice out of that. You know, you see Scarlet Witch and you see Quicksilver kind of hanging out with Ultron, which suggests that Baron Von Strucker is going to have them working together with Ultron somehow, that they're going to be released. Also that you can see in this is that clearly it looks like in a scene of the trailer, Black Widow and Mark Ruffalo in Bruce Banner form look like they might be about ready to make out, which suggests that maybe their relationship is kind of growing a little bit closer, so maybe developing a relationship right there. Other things to note, there have been photos of Captain America's shield cracked. So, you know, it's one of those things that vibranium and adamantium, the mixture, apparently can be punctured somehow. So we're gonna see how that is. If I had to guess, I'd say Scarlet Witch, who can alter reality, or Ultron himself has something to do with that. More interesting, though, than anything, at the very end, you see a red face with a green outline, and you know that it's Vision. You know that it is the superhero Vision that is kind of hanging back, you know, so he's going to be some sort of a key to this somehow. And it looks like his yellow stone is glowing, and what that stone could be is one of the Infinity Stones called the Reality Stone, which, when you're fighting somebody who can alter reality, in Scarlet Witch, even though she's not the main villain, we all know Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver eventually join the Avengers. But you know that there's going to be a lot of a lot of fighting and going on. Maybe that Vision is a little bit of a key in this, especially with the Reality Stone that he just happens to have on his forehead. So, his powers include like radiation beams. He can phase through matter, kind of like Kitty Pryde of the X-Men. He can fly. He's got some pretty cool ability. And he's an AI too. It's important to note too that he's an AI, kind of like how Ultron is. So he himself is a computer program as well, with a computer body, or with the robotic body. So some interesting things going on with the Avengers. Ulysses Klaue, played by Andy Serkis, was announced. He was rumored, and now he's announced to somehow be part of the movie. They'll be setting him up for a solo dance with Black Panther, as those two guys are pretty good rivals. He's not quite to the level of Lex Luthor and Superman or Joker and Batman, but you know, Ulysses Klaue is kind of like Black Panther's Lex Luthor or Black Panther's Joker, just not quite to that level. So it's gonna be interesting to see how they work this. I can't wait for May 1st, which is of course when the Age of Ultron drops into our lives. Next story of note is also a story. It was also a Marvel story. Wolverine. We're thinking about maybe Wolverine could be in an Avengers movie coming up. Of course, with Spider-Man's rights being leased out by Sony. I'm sorry. By Sony. Fox is now saying, well, maybe we can benefit from this too. As we all kind of thought this might happen a few years ago, looks like it actually might be a reality that in one of the next few Avengers movies or Marvel Cinematic Universe, we could see both Spider-Man and Wolverine fighting along with them, because anybody who knows anything about the comics knows that Spider-Man and Wolverine were both part of the Avengers for at least a short amount of time. So it's going to be interesting. Hugh Jackman has said that he's excited and he would love to see the crossover happen. It's always interesting to see, because Wolverine is by far, I think, one of the more popular X-Men characters, if not the most popular X-Men character. Magneto, Professor X, Wolverine. A lot of people like Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler can teleport from place to place. That can be useful. I can think of a couple hundred scenarios where I'd like to have that power. So it would be interesting to see that see these happen. I think I'd like to see it. I think that, you know, you bring up the possibility for a lot of cool stories, especially when they're going to do the Infinity War, which, of course, Wolverine and Spider-Man are both a big part of. In the comic book, Spider-Man gets the Venom symbiote from being beaten half-senseless, almost to the point where he's dead. The symbiote finds him and becomes some OPSOB. And it's really hard to keep a good Spider-Man down when you've got an evil black symbiote attached to him. Believe you me, you ever tried it? It's kind of like if you're a gremlin feeding him after midnight. It's just not going to end well for somebody. It's just not going to happen. So it's a pretty interesting road to hoe for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I said road to hoe. That's right. That happened. So the Inquisitor right now talking about the Walking Dead. Everybody loves the Walking Dead. I read the comics, so some of the cool people you guys are about to meet is pretty intriguing. One of the guys has a tiger that kills zombies. You guys are about ready to meet them. But there's some spoilers ahead. So if you are a Walking Dead fan and you don't want to hear some spoilers, I would turn it away for just a moment. Just a moment, you know, don't turn me off, just, you know, turn me down and come back here in a second. I'm going to give you guys a chance to do that right now. All right, so fans of The Walking Dead, they're getting a short break from misery and death during last week's episode. But this week isn't going to be all cookies and spaghetti, according to this article on Inquisitor. The spoilers ahead reveal the names of two characters who will meet their demise on Sunday. So don't read ahead if you don't want to know their identities. So, spoiler alert, I am telling you now, we are going into this article. You don't want to listen. I already know who they are because I follow the comics. So, you know, if you're like me, you read the comics, it's probably okay to keep the channel on. But if not, and like I said, this is published, so it's not really a spoiler if it's published. So, once again, I want to give everyone a second. If you don't want to hear it, turn away. All right. Let's jump into this. Let's jump into this article. All righty, here. I got to bring it back. Hold on. Aiden will shoot a zombie that's carrying a grenade on its body, and the resulting explosion will impale Aiden on a pole. So Aiden's going bye-bye, which, of course, we know. The undead friends of the Bombie will then proceed to eat the skewered creep alive, and Tara will also be hurt by the grenade blast, but Eugene will swoop in and save his unconscious friend from meeting the same fate as their foolish leader. So Aiden's going to go bye-bye. Most Walking Dead fans will probably cheer as they see Aiden meet his grisly end, and they might consider his death a major character death because he's had so little screen time. However, it could have a huge effect on the future of Alexandria. Rick Grimes' group might face some serious repercussions after Deanna learns that her son is dead. The community leader might find it suspicious that Aiden was the only one killed during the run, and it will definitely look bad that he met his demise so soon after the survivor's arrival in Alexandria. I can tell you... Nope, I've got Internet Explorer has stopped working. It's kind of crazy. It doesn't want me to be reading this article. There you go. All right, I'm back up. Okay, I can tell you that even watching or even reading, I know that this does have some serious repercussions a little bit later on. The second character does is one that will upset the fans most, but quite a few TSDF commentators are actually pretty happy about it. During a run, Glenn and Noah will get trapped in the office building, and this is where Beth Green's hospital friend will meet his end. Noah gets trapped behind a glass wall of sorts, and Glenn watches as Noah's face is pressed up against the glass while some dirty walker fingers go into his mouth and his cheek is ripped apart. So it's a pretty grisly end for Noah. And that is how it happened in the comics, too. Many Walking Dead fans don't like Noah because they believe he's partly to blame for the deaths of Beth and Tyrese. However, Noah was also responsible for getting the survivors to Alexandria. They hadn't escorted him home, it's likely they would never have met Aaron and Eric. As the Inquisitor previously reported, Noah actor Tyler James Williams has been cast in a Criminal Minds spinoff. After learning this bit of news, many Walking Dead fans assumed that Noah would die in the near future, which is why this isn't a major spoiler, because the Criminal Minds spinoff episode was announced like a year ago. However, most spoiler followers speculated that he would die in the finale. This is because something Daryl Dixon actor Norman Reedus said about the finale during an interview. Wow, bring your Kleenex and you'll be screaming at your television. That's for the finale. And I won't go any more into this, but I did want to throw that out there, that there's some interesting things happening or going to be happening on The Walking Dead. So, my friend's saying, this week, season finale, who did you say died? Yeah, I'm not going into that. I did just get another funny picture. Earlier today, Dallas running back DeMarco Murray number 29 of Dallas Cowboys. He signed with the Philadelphia Eagles because the Dallas Cowboys couldn't open their pocketbook enough to pay the man. And trust me, he deserves to be paid. But there's a photo that I just got. Number 29. He went to the division rival. He went to division rival Philadelphia Eagles, and there's a photo of his jersey Photoshop with number 29, and in an Eagles attire, and it says on the back instead of saying Murray like it would say his last name, it says Judas. The indication there being biblical that he betrayed the team, but you know, they offered him so little money. I mean, so little money. $6 million is not even enough. Somebody to bite him in. But they offered him $6 million. Are you serious? Are you serious? I can go to the NFL and make $6 million. There's no way that $6 million was enough to keep someone that talented. But yeah. 1-347-826-9974. 1-347-826-9974. If you want to talk about anything we're talking about right now, some interesting things, definitely for sure going on. Like I said, I know conference basketball is going on right now, so I expect my ratings for this show to be really low. But it's okay. I'm having fun. So, the next Transformers series finally kicks off in 2 days' time. Saturday is the big day. Transformers Robots in the Skies 2015. I've been plugging it constantly. There's a lot going on in this new animated series. And it is, you know, a lot of the people out in the world are posting, somehow they're posting episodes of Transformers Robots in Disguise. I don't know how they're doing it, but I haven't been watching them because, you know, I want to be surprised. I'm a Transformers fan. I like the anticipation from one episode to the next. So it's going to be pretty interesting, as I'm not going to talk a whole lot about it because there's not a whole lot to talk about right now. But as the show gets going, I will be talking about the show a little bit more on this show. So, Saturday is a big day for it. 26 episodes in the first season, so pretty lengthy first season. But yeah, it comes out March 14th, 2015. You can watch it on Cartoon Network, Transformers Robots in Disguise, 2015 edition. Good Lord, I'm getting like all sorts of messages on Facebook. Why don't you people call me? I got like 10 people messaging me on Facebook. Call me. 1-347-826-9974. Good Lord.
Somebody saying that they can talk. So if you can talk, call. My advice.
Especially since I'm running out of subject matter. I kind of expected at least 5 or 6 calls because, you know, last week I got 16. I got more calls last week than ESPN local radio does in a day. Tonight I've got 0. Zilch. Nada. Good job. Justified coming on. Justified's doing pretty good this year. They're going for they're gearing up towards that epic clash that's going to happen undoubtedly for this final showdown between Raylan Givens and Boyd Crowder, you know, childhood kind of friends that drifted apart, kind of became enemies a little bit. But they're always polite to each other. You know, if you watch the show, you know, they're always polite to one another. It's hilarious. You know, they're like, I'm going to kill you, SOB, but I'm going to kill you kindly. You know, it's hilarious to watch these two listen in. But yeah, like for example, they're in a shootout a couple seasons ago. They're in a shootout,
And they're leaning up against a wall, Raylan's up top and Boyd's at the bottom. They can't see each other during this little brief part of ceasefire. And they're in their old elementary school. And, you know, after they've been shooting at each other for a little bit, they're just like, you know that astronaut that came to talk to us? I can't remember when we were in elementary school. I can't remember for the life of me what that astronaut's name was. And Raylan's like, you know, Boyd, I don't quite recall his name either. I mean, it's just funny to listen to them. Bicker. It's pretty funny to listen to him. But if you don't watch Justified, it does take place in Harlan County. It does take place in Harlan County, Kentucky. It has been about the meth trade. Now it's kind of like about marijuana this year. There's a guy trying to put down roots, literally trying to put down roots, trying to sell marijuana in Harlan County. But the marijuana drug trade is pretty much always already controlled by other people in the county. And he's finding it difficult to do it. So, So we've got it's an interesting show, very interesting, and I've got a caller here finally. Area code 704. You're on the lounge with the doc. Who's this?
This is Ray, doc. This is Ray.
What's up, Ray? How you doing tonight, buddy? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Sitting here watching Miami get beat right now. Was hoping they'd beat Notre Dame.
Miami is getting crushed right now. That is true.
Yeah.
What's
up,
Ray?
Well, you don't want me to bring up what's on my mind when we were talking about DeMarco Murray.
Oh, man. You're calling in to talk to DeMarco Murray.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Let me have it. What are you talking to DeMarco Murray?
There is no loyalty in the NFL anymore. None. Okay, I don't care. If he would have went anywhere other than the Eagles, I don't blame the man because they paid him $8 million, $8-plus million, okay, per year, all right? And I wouldn't blame him, but he went to the Eagles. Okay, you don't go to your division rival, all right? I mean, the man grew up, he's from Oklahoma. You know good and well he's a Cowboys fan whenever he grew up, okay? You know good and well he was, he's from Oklahoma, all right? Next thing, there's the one drafted you, all right? You don't do that. You wasn't really never a fan of the Cowboys to begin with. If you was, you know, I mean, I understand it's all a business. I understand that. And I understand it's $8 million, okay? But go somewhere other than that. Why go to the Eagles? I mean, I understand they probably give you out of the three teams that had an interest in you the best chance to win that Super Bowl, all right? But I don't know. It just disappoints me because I've been a fan of Murray ever since he was in Oklahoma, actually. But, I mean, you know, I don't know. I just hope, you know, he signs for 5 years. I hope he gets 10 ass whippings on those 5 years from us. All right? Twice a year.
So you're telling me that you're blaming Murray for this decision instead of Dallas? Is that what you're hearing?
The Cowboys offered him $6 million. Okay, all right. Look, I'm a Cowboys fan. All right, now I'm looking at it from the point of a fan. Okay, I don't have the athletic ability that DeMarco Murray does. Okay, but if I had ties to the Cowboys, they could pay me $50,000 and I'd play for them. All right, now that's where I think all professional athletes take all that for granted nowadays, and it pisses me off to tell you the truth. Okay. They want all this money. Man, you can't live off $6 million a year.
Well, I think he
you can't live off $6 million a year.
He brings a lot more to the table. Yeah, but look at some of the top running backs are paid. Look at what some of the top running backs are paid. DeMarco Murray's a top running back in the league.
Oh, he's top.
Last year
he was the best running back in the league. Okay, he is the best running back in the league. And I understand,
no,
and like I said, I understand he went where the money was, okay? I understand that, but it makes me mad because it was a division rival, all right? That's the bottom line with mine. That's That's the fact of the matter, right there.
If they're going to be, if they're going to be the ones to pay him, I understand. As a fan, you're disappointed. I get that. I understand. I was disappointed when Frank Gore left the 49ers because you know I'm a 49ers fan.
I was hoping Gore would stay with the Eagles because Frank's 30-something years old. I was hoping Frank Gore would stay at the Eagles and then not wind up doing anything.
I hate to
wish bad luck on DeMarco Murray. I hope he has – every time he touches the ball, I hope it goes from negative yards or he fumbles. I hope those 6 fumbles that he had last year increases to 26 fumbles this year. You know?
But here's the thing. Here's the thing with DeMarco Murray. He's not going to be running the ball a whole lot. That's why LeSean McCoy left. You know, they weren't using Shady. Shady's a top quality running back. So Shady, you know, he's not getting the ball much. Frank Gore wasn't getting the ball much at San Francisco. Shady's not getting the ball much at Philadelphia. Why do you keep your running backs around if you're not going to use them? Because there's quality top backs in the league. So you've got to use them, and you've also got to pay them. And I think what really happened was Dallas didn't want to work with DeMarco Murray because at the end of the day, Dallas thinks they can get Adrian Peterson for whatever sick reason they think or they want to go with Adrian Peterson over DeMarco Murray. I don't know because, A, you're dealing with a guy who was just convicted of domestic violence, and he didn't play at all last year. So you're getting rid of the guy that was the number one back in the league. That doesn't fly with me. I don't buy that.
Well, see, I think they're going to. I don't think they're going to go after Adrian Peterson. I think they're just going to draft Melvin Gordon in the first round. Is what I think, because I think they've talked enough sense into Jerry Jones here in the last couple of years. He actually has made some good decisions. All right, as far as personnel wise and stuff, and drafting. I think he's going to wind up drafting the running back in the first round. Is what I think. But then I look back at our last first round running back, which was Felix Jones. And he's just terrible. He was good for a year or two, okay, and then he just fell off. I don't know what happened to him. He was like turned into fragile Felix.
Well, let's face it. The offensive line in Dallas has not been good except for last year. Let's face it. Let's call a spade a spade. Let's agree not to BS each other. And let's just call it how it is that the offensive line outside of last year in Dallas has been absolutely atrocious. And, you know, you've had a lot of good quality players get some injuries. Tony Romo has even had a couple concussions. And I'm not on board with Tony Romo. I think – you know, I'll say one thing, Ray. I've never met you face-to-face. You've called in the show a few times. I will say one thing. I think you and I could go out there and play quarterback with the defense or with the offensive line that Dallas had. I think it's that good.
Yeah, I think there's a bunch of quarterbacks that play. Yeah.
I agree. I don't think, at the end of the day, I don't think Tony Romo is such a good quarterback that he made all the difference. I think that the offensive line allowed him to make that difference. And you had DeMarco Murray running 5-6 yards most of the time without getting touched. You know, he wouldn't get touched. That's unheard of.
Their offensive line was good last year, with the exception of like two games. You know, the game against the Redskins, the offensive line was when they got Tony Romo hurt. And got his back broken yet again. And then in the Detroit game, they didn't play good. And in my own opinion, they didn't play good at all.
Right. Right.
But other than that, they were stellar the rest of the year. You know, so you're gonna have a bad game or two every now and then.
Right.
That's just how it is in the NFL. I mean, you're gonna have a good game, you're gonna have a bad game.
You're gonna have a bad game, but about Murray, it just kills me
about Murray going to the Eagles just because it was the freaking Eagles, man. If there's anybody else, this is my ass. You know, I maybe could have went if they went to the Redskins. I maybe could have handled that more than the Eagles. All right. I mean, I don't like
the Redskins
really.
Aren't even close to a threat.
I know. I know. I can handle the Ducks. All right. Even though they're a division rival, and I don't like the Redskins either, I can handle that better than the Eagles. You know? Now, if it had been back in the 90s, I probably would have couldn't handle that as much either because it was right the opposite. I hated the Redskins worse in the 90s than I do now. You know? It's just because the Redskins hadn't done much in them quite a while, about the same time period as Dallas. So.
Right. I think at the end of the day, you're right when you said that there's no loyalty in the NFL, but I think, to me, this is not on Dallas. To me, this is not on DeMarco Murray, this is on Dallas. You know, I know it's not the answer you want to hear as a...
If they would have gave him the money that Philadelphia got, all right, then you can't go out and you can't help your defense, right? You can't help shore up the offense anymore. You have no money left because between him and Dez, you got all your money tied up, right? Well, the defense wasn't good this year, okay?
They should have budgeted. It's not like they didn't know that. Here's my problem with that. It's not like they didn't know that he was going to be a great running back, okay? They saw signs.
Yeah.
He saved their season for them on the ground, 2 years ago. He's been going strong ever since. So I don't know
except when he gets injured.
He was coming.
Okay, up till this year, he had been hurt every single year, though. He missed six or seven games the year before. 2 years before that, he missed like 8 or 9 games. Do what?
If you know that someone's going to be a great running back, though, you still need to make sure that you are able to pay them because, you know, it's not like salary cap is a hard thing to work around, though. You know, it's not a hard thing to work around the salary cap because you can do it over 5 or 6 years. You just have to be a little bit responsible. I think that Dallas didn't plan accordingly when they saw this.
I think they thought he would get injured again this year. Yeah, that's why they never did re-sign him, you know, for as much. You know, at the beginning of the year this past year, they offered him $4 million, okay, which is about what he was worth at the time. Okay, but he didn't have 1,800-yard year under his belt. He had 1,100-yard year the year before, but he had missed about 5 or 6 games with an ankle injury. Okay, year before that, he didn't even have 1,000 yards. All right, and he got hurt towards the end of the year that year and missed, I don't know, 8 or 9 games. You know, I mean, so you don't know. He's kind of the same way with Sean Lee. Sean Lee is one of the best linebackers in the league when he's in there. All right, but he gets hurt every year. I mean, he's fragile. I mean, you might as well just put a fragile sign on him. Handle with care because he's going to get hurt. That's probably what's going to happen to him this year.
And you're right, but at the same time, I think you kind of see that Dallas had the opportunity to plan for this. I don't think that they – I think that Dallas is the plan. It's going to take a lot for me to believe otherwise. You know, $6 million is $6 million. I'd take $6 million, but DeMarco Murray's worth $10 million. You know, your top running back in the league is worth whatever he wants to pay within reason. Now, last night I made the statement that Ndamukong Suh, who just went to Miami for $60 million guaranteed, that was a ludicrous trade, or that's a ludicrous thing because of the salary cap. That's a hard number to work around in the salary cap. $60 million guaranteed for a defensive player is a hard number to work around in a salary cap. JJ Watt.
Well, you remember the last time a big you remember a big trade that happened, or it wasn't a trade, it was a free agency that happened a few years ago with Albert Haynesworth, and they paid him $100 million. Okay, and he went to the Redskins. What happened there? I foresee the same thing with Ndamukong Suh.
Right.
Yeah.
I,
I do too. I think Ndamukong Suh is a great player, but in a world where the salary cap is not an issue, I think $60 million is probably, he's worth $60 million all day long. Working with the salary cap, though, you gotta spend your money a little bit more open minded. I made a comparison last night that it's kind of like baseball. Right now, you're seeing $250 million contracts for 10 years. And, you know, they're going to be broken down after six. You know, yep. I mean, you can't just go out and spend that much money because you have it. You still have to budget it. You know, you can only have so many superstars on your team. That's the difference a coach makes, is to help coach up some of the other people that aren't quite superstars.
Yeah, I agree.
And,
I don't know. It's just disappointing because it's the Eagles. That's the main thing. Okay, that's the main thing because it was the Eagles.
And I get that it's disappointing because of the Eagles. I understand that because you guys want to kill each other all the time. I get that. I understand. The fact of the matter is, though, that the NFC East is about the silliest conference in football anyways, because everybody's on the East Coast except for Dallas.
I never understood that, too. They should put Dallas in the South, okay? They should be in the South, and Carolina should be in the East. That would make a whole lot more sense.
Right. It'd make a lot more sense, you know. But because they're Jerry Jones, it's okay to screw these kinds of things up. It's okay.
Well, they wanted to.
I think it's
when they did the changeovers with the divisions a while back. Now, reason they did that is they wanted to keep the rivalries in the East. They wanted to keep that Washington Redskins and Dallas rivalry, and they wanted to keep the Philadelphia and Dallas rivalry at a time. That's why they didn't change them over, from my understanding. That's the way the NFL looked at it. So, but it would make a whole lot more sense. They should be in the sale. Okay, I agree with you. They should be in the sale. So,
yeah.
And Carolina should be in the
East. Yes, I agree. Yeah. I just think that, you know, getting back to the main thesis of the call, I just don't think that you can blame this all on DeMarco Murray. I think it sucks if you're a Cowboys fan. And he went to the Eagles, but you can also look at it like this. It also sucks that the Cowboys weren't willing to pay him. And even if they were, they didn't think enough of him to plan a little bit more in the future. And I just think that you can't blame that on DeMarco Murray for bettering his own situation. So, you know,
I get it. I told you I would probably took the money and run, too, okay?
Yeah.
I probably would have done the same thing, okay? But the fact of the matter is, if I have to remain, okay, as a fan of the Cowboys, okay, I'm looking at it as, all right, you had lots of places to go. You had at least three different places to go. And you chose to go to the team that is your rival, all right? And that's the way I'm looking at it. Like I said, there's no loyalty in it. None. None.
Yeah.
It kills me as a fan because, like I said, if I had an opportunity to play, I would play. If I was going to get a chance to play for the Dallas Cowboys, okay, which is my team, it's been my team all my life, right? I would play for $50,000 a year and be happy, and not ask for a penny more, right? And if he grew up in Oklahoma and he went to Oklahoma, I can guarantee you he was a Dallas Cowboys fan. Texas, they love their Cowboys. Right. Now, I'm not from Texas,
right.
but I've been to several games in Texas. They love their Cowboys. I'll tell you that. Yeah.
Well, Ray, thank you very much for the call and weighing in on this episode of The Lounge. Always welcome to call in. Good call, as usual, from Ray. So I want to thank Ray for joining us tonight. I'm running out of stuff to talk about here. I've got one more thing to talk about, and that's the Big Bang Theory as they continue to – basically my last note here is as they continue to say goodbye to Howard's mother, some very sad things coming up. This week's episode is kind of a tearjerker. It was hilarious in parts, but it was a tearjerker. But we won't talk about it because of the 1 week spoiler rule. But, you know, we'll be talking about it once again a little bit more in depth next week. So, just a quick score update. Here, and then I'm probably going to call it an early show because I'd much rather produce a quality product than just drag one out. As Ray mentioned, Notre Dame is crushing Miami 41-25. Oklahoma State is currently at the half upsetting Oklahoma 26-21. You know, we talked about Oklahoma and Oklahoma State a lot there, too, in that. Butler is down to Xavier in the Big East tournament, 20-18. You've got the Gophers and Ohio State's winning 57-48 in the Big Ten tournament. And let's see here. UNLV and San Diego State University in a close one, 29-30. South Carolina and Mississippi at the half in the SEC, 27-24 in favor of South Carolina. Weber State and Montana tied 11-11 with 12:03 to go there. Some finals that did wrap up while we were on the air. And in conference ball, games are fast and games are furious, let me tell you. LaSalle knocking off UMass 76-69. Michigan getting it done against Illinois 73-55. As I said, Florida did take care of Alabama. You have UTEP knocking off FIU 83-71. Penn State getting it done in the Big Ten against Iowa in an upset, I'd have to say. 67-58. That's a huge upset. Providence able to knock off St. John's University 74-57. And then you've got VCU right now getting it done 63-57. And I think that's pretty much going to wrap up the major games right now, at least. Want to make sure I'm not missing anybody. Georgetown was able to come back and beat Creighton 60-55. Duke finaled over NC State 77-53. No surprise, Virginia got it done over Florida State 58-44. Villanova getting it done over Marquette 84-49. Arizona did knock off Cal 73-51. Kansas finished up against TCU 64-59. Iowa State surviving a close battle from Texas 69-67 out of the Big 12. That is going to about do it for me tonight. A little bit of an abbreviated show. Obviously, you know, conference tournaments are going on. I fully expect, like I said, my ratings to be down this week, which is okay. You know, it's to be expected, especially with conference ball going on. People are wanting to watch. My ratings will probably be low for the next couple weeks. But, yeah, so, you know, it was a good show, though. Thank you to Ray for calling in. Kind of saved the show a little bit. it was fun, good content. You know, like I said, I always believe that I'd much rather prefer to give a condensed product than I would with quality than I would a long product with no quality. So thank you for joining me tonight while we sat back, relaxed, and enjoyed and got to embrace our inner nerds here at the lounge for a little bit. Next week we are back with an all-new episode of Triple Threat Talk. Remember, during conference tournaments and the NFL, during basketball tournaments and the NFL season, we are every week, and then we are going to every other week at the end of the college basketball tournaments. But yeah, so you know, it's going to be an exciting show next Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out Fever Keeps It Real. Paul did tell me some interesting news. He got cleared for surgery by his cardiologist, so pulse surgery is finally going to happen. That's very exciting. Chris Gary has a new show out, God Help Us All, Chillmeisterology. Seriously, who names their title of their show Chillmeisterology? It doesn't even sound good. But, you know, I'm sure it's an interesting show. We love to give Chris Gary a hard time. But, you know, check out his new show out. Don't make him talk to himself. It's crazy. And then join Postmaster on his new show, The Pit Stop, on Monday, followed by Icy's show of Airplay. That is what's coming up in the next couple, next few days for the Triple Threat Talk family. Speaking of the Triple Threat Talk family, for myself, for Brendan, for Icy, for Jimmy, for Paul, for Christian, everybody part of the, and Big B and Brian Cannon, everybody is part of the Triple Threat Talk and the Fever Keeps It Real family of radio. Good night, everybody, and thank you for embracing your inner nerd.